prayed with me. Loving God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we hear it today, we may receive strength and comfort. We pray that it may challenge us. We pray that we may hear the hope that it offers. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. When I was working on my ideas for sermons in the month of August, I had taken my clergy journal, which I have all of my sermon titles listed in and passages since the beginning of my ministry. And I looked back over 10 years to see which ones passages on each of the Sundays of the lectionary I have not preached from or preached very little from, and decided to preach those passages during the month of August. And so today it's our passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. And I want to begin by sharing with you this little story. A man was worrying, always worrying. He worried about his children. He worried about his job. He worried about his wife. He worried about his health. And one day, a friend of his noted that he was extremely calm and peaceful. "Why are you so calm?" he asked. "You're always worrying about everything. What happened?" And the former worrier replied, "Oh, I just hired a man to do the worrying for me." "Well, how much are you paying him?" his friend inquired. "Oh, $1,000 a week," the man replied. "$1,000 a week? You can't afford $1,000 a week." And the worrier responded, "That's his problem." You know, we all worry. And I think along with that worrying, we all have this nagging voice in us. Am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I providing enough? And so we worry about the enoughs. Are we doing enough? And most of the time, I think we are. We feel that we are. But there are those times, we're just not sure. I've had a few of those. And I know there were times that I was utterly lacking. And I have a hunch that some of it comes from years and years of preaching by ministers that keep telling us how bad human beings are. And I will admit, I've shared in that. And I will take my lumps for that if you want to share them. How often have I and other ministers shared the verse from Romans, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God"? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for us? Now, I'm not suggesting that I don't think those words are true. But you see, the problem is that we hear only that half of the equation. But there's the second half. Kind of the half that we find in our passage from Romans today. "For one who believes with the heart and so is justified, one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame." In other words, human as we are, sinful as we are, if we believe in God, if we trust in Jesus, if we do our best, we will be saved. That's the good news of the cross. But can we count on that? Can we trust that? Can we trust God to catch us, as I've titled this sermon? Alice McKenzie, in her reflections on the Romans passage entitled "Good News, Bad News," shares the following. "I was reading an article on a daily paper about a camp for grieving children. It's a week-long camp for kids between ages 6 and 17 who have dealt with death in the family. It's called El Tesoro de la Vida, which means treasure of life, located near Granbury, Texas. The camp director, Dennis Cranford, says, "Our ultimate goal is for a child to know that he or she is a kid first and a griever second. They don't have to be any of one's big sister. They don't have to be the man of the house. All of the roles that they take on when somebody dies." Now, he said, goes on to say, one of the campers, Vicente Ocura, lost several family members within 4 years. Grandparents to illnesses, his teenage cousins to murder, and his newborn brother to a birth complication. And on one day of the camp, 11 teenage boys participated in a trust fall. Look at the cover of the bulletin. That's not the picture of this, but his particular trust fall, but it is one of a trust fall. And when it was Vincente's turn, he took off his black rimmed glasses, pulled himself up on a ledge, covered his eyes with a black and white bandana. "Spotters ready?" counselor and therapist Brian Miller shouted. "Ready," the boys replied. "Follower, ready?" "Ready," Vincente said, before he fell backward off the ledge and landed in the arms of his camp buddies. "We got you, buddy, we got you," one of the campers said as Vincente got back on his feet. Miller moderated a discussion afterwards, and he told the boys, "Vincente just fell off a platform that could have injured him, but he trusted us to be there and to catch him." There is a parallel to that when we sit down in a circle talking about the stuff that we don't like to talk about. Vincente had to trust that the boys would catch him, otherwise he couldn't have fallen. That's why it's called a trust fall. We can only attempt to be the kinds of people God wants us to be if we trust God to catch us. The problem is, for all of us, there are times we don't trust God. Maybe there's something we haven't done that we should have, or something that we did that we shouldn't have. Whatever that something may be, and so we keep trying to become good enough. Am I good enough for God to love me? Am I good enough for God to accept me? You see, when we do that, we will never be good enough. And our ministry, our sharing of the good news will be stunted because we're worried more about ourselves rather than sharing the good news in whatever way, form we share it. We're spending all of our time to be good enough for ourselves. Paul writes, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, when we trust God to catch us, to be with us, to hold us, we're free then to share the good news. The only thing we need to believe is that Jesus is the one who saves us. We can then share the good news with others and not worry if it's right, not worry if we're good enough to share that, not worry about all those things we worried about, all those things that keep us quiet. We Presbyterians, as well as many other mainline Protestants, still follow that old Flip Wilson thing when he said, "I'm a Jehovah's bystander. I stand at the door and knock and then say nothing." We can only show Christ to them. We show Christ by accepting all people, by loving all people, by helping all people, by caring for all people. That is why we have to be ready to stand as well and speak out when someone says something that we believe is wrong. This past week, I had one of those incidences. Now, I'll be honest, I'm saying for the first time here this morning, I haven't done anything else about it. But Robert Jeffress, head of the First Baptist Dallas megachurch, told CBN on Tuesday that a biblical passage in Romans allows rulers to use whatever means necessary, including war, to stop evil. He said, in the case of North Korea, God has given Trump authority to take out Kim Jong-un. I'm heartened to see that our president, contrary to what we've seen with past administrations, who have taken at best a sheepish stance toward dictators and oppressors. Well, those words angered me. I don't know how Pastor Jeffress squares his words with those of Jesus that said to love your enemies and not to do anything to harm them. I'm sure he thought the high priest and members of the Jewish hierarchy were evil for having Jesus crucified. But what did Jesus do? He forgave them. He forgave those who put him on the cross. How would those Christians who call themselves white supremacists or members of the KKK who marched in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday hear the words of Jesus and Paul? You see, the Christian church needs people who are not worried about their own shame, their own foibles, and who are ready to go out and share that Christ with the world, with the people in the supermarket aisles, in the airplane seats, wherever people are hurting, wherever people are lonely, wherever people are being hurt. Perhaps some of you remember Elie Wiesel, the Jewish author of the book Night, that tells the story of his time in a German concentration camp when he was a small boy. And in that book, he writes, "We must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere when human lives are in danger, when human dignity is in jeopardy. National borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Wherever men and women are persecuted because of their race, religion, or political views, that place must, at that moment, become the center of the universe." My friends, that's why Black lives matter. That's why gay lives matter. That's why women's lives matter. This is for all people. Paul in Romans wrote concerning all people. Everyone. A little boy was sitting with his grandparents and visiting with them, and they gave him a slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back to grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. On an impulse, he took aim and let it fly. The stone hit and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister watching him. Sally had seen everything, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked the children if they wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all right. That's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." Again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it, and he confessed to his grandma that he'd killed the duck. "I know, Johnny," she said, giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." let's not let our shame, our humanness, our fears make a slave of us, a slave to trying to become good enough. We are good enough. Therefore, let us go and stand with all people, and I literally mean all people, and share the good news with others and with those who would not stand with all people. God will catch us. You don't have to worry about that. Amen.